السلام عليكم ورحمة
الله.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So today, alhamdulillah, we're at the 68th part of the series, inshallah ta'ala, of the seerah of Khatam al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the 9th part of the Battle of Badr. So last week, we were talking about the martyrs, the shuhada of Badr. We talked about the younger brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, Umayr radiallahu anhu, who was very young. He was 16 years old and he was short of stature, so even the sword was hanging when he was putting the sword on, and he was having difficulty tying the sword onto his body. We also talked about the other shuhada, for example, Afra radiallahu anha. She was one of the Ansar, and seven of her sons came to Badr and participated in the Battle of Badr. Three of them were shaheed. So we talked about that. And one of the ones who were shaheed, he was actually one of the ones who killed Abu Jahl. So we talked about that last week, inshallah. And today I'd like to go over the dead of the kuffar. So one thing before I begin, you know, later on in the Battle of Uhud, or after the Battle of Uhud, when the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba are in the cave in the mountain of Uhud, Abu Sufyan comes to the mountain basically, and he calls out. He says, "Is Muhammad ﷺ alive?" The Prophet ﷺ tells the Sahaba, "Do not respond." Then he says, "Is Abu Bakr alive?" He says, "Do not respond." Then he says, "Is Umar alive?" The Prophet ﷺ says again, "Do not respond." Then Abu Sufyan calls out and says that this is basically a recompense for what you did to us in Badr. That 70 of the people, of the leaders of Quraysh, were killed in Badr. 70 of the leaders were held captive or taken captive in the battle of Badr. And then in the Battle of Uhud, there was 70 of the shuhada of the Muslims, of the Sahaba. And Umar radiallahu anhu, at that point, he's instructed by the Prophet ﷺ to respond back. And one of the things that he said is that there's a difference between our dead and your dead. That the shuhada of Uhud are in Jannah, and the dead of the kuffar in Badr, they are in hellfire. So even though the number is a big number, 70 and 70, in Muslims dying in Uhud, but the difference, the clear difference, is that the Muslims are always winning. If they win the battle and they go on, they have victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they die, then they are shuhada, they're still winners. And even actually, they get a better victory when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the 70 of the leaders of Quraysh were killed. And I want to go over a few of the incidents that happened while on the battlefield and after the battlefield, after the battle. For example, there is an ayah from Surah Al-Mujadala, ayah number 22, was revealed afterwards. And this is regarding the people of Badr. One incident I'll talk about that, inshallah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. So here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you will not find a people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, the Yawm al-Qiyamah, having affection for those who oppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, even if they were their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their kindred, their family relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed in their hearts faith and supported them with the spirit from Him, and we will admit them to gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. Those are the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unquestionably the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the successful ones. So this ayah was revealed later on, talking about the Battle of Badr, and some of the incidents are related to this ayah. For example, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an and his father. His father's name was Al-Jarrah, and his father was not a Muslim. Okay, his father was not a Muslim, so his father was on the side of the Kufar, and then Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an is on the side of the Muslims. Now, the father being very upset that his son had left the religion of their forefathers, and then he had gone and made hijrah with the Prophet ﷺ and left him, he wanted to kill his son. So in the Battle of Badr, they are chasing, basically, he's chasing his son, trying to go after him, trying to find his son and attack his son. And eventually he does, they come face to face on the battlefield. And when the father attacks the son defends himself basically, and he kills the father. He actually kills his own father. So this ayah was revealed in relation to that incident where Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh had to kill his own father. And again, this is the one side is kufr, one side is the side of iman. And this is, we see again that Muslims, faith is what brings us together, not race, not nationality, not family, blood ties and whatnot, but the faith in the hearts, that's what makes us brothers and sisters. And if we have to make a choice between, you know, faith and our relatives, faith comes first. So here, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh, he kills his own father in the Battle of Badr. Another incident that's reported is, for example, in relation, you could say, to this ayah, is so other Muslims who had to face their relatives or see their relatives on the other side, the side of kufr. So for example, you have Utbah, Shaybah, and Walid ibn Utbah. These three were killed in the first duels. So when they started the battle, before the battle started, the duels that took place, and these three leaders of Quraysh were killed by the Muslims, by Hamza radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, and Ubaidah ibn Harith radiallahu anhu, the cousins of the two cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they fought in the duels, and they lost and they died. And one of the sons, and I talked about this, I mentioned this earlier, Abu Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu, he was a son of Utbah. He was a son of Utbah, and he was the only child that was Muslim, and he had made hijrah to Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Hudhaifa, he saw his own father die in front of his eyes, killed in the duel. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made an announcement that instructions, do not kill Banu Hashim, do not kill Abbas, because Abbas, even though they were on the side of the kufar, but they were actually forced to come out with the side of the kufar. They didn't want to come, but they were forced to come out. So the Prophet ﷺ made instructions that not to fight them, not to kill these people, but if you capture them, then bring them as captives. So Abu Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu, seeing his own father killed in front of his eyes like this, and then hearing the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ, his emotions got the better of him, and he says that, how is it that our fathers and our brothers and our relatives are killed, and the family of the Prophet ﷺ will not be touched? And he actually says then, if I see the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning Abbas radiallahu anhu, who later became Muslim, he wasn't Muslim at that time, he says, if I see Abbas in front of me, I will certainly kill him. So he says this about the Prophet ﷺ's uncle, and that news reaches the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ is saddened by hearing this, and he turns to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says to him, that how is it, and he says to Abu Hafs, he gave him the laqab, he says, Ya Abu Hafs. And we know that the daughter of Umar radiallahu anha was Hafsa bint Abi Bakr, ibn Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anha. She was, her name was Hafsa, and the Prophet calls him by the name of Abu Hafs. So he says, Abu Hafs, how is it that, you know, my uncle will be killed or will be attacked? Will you allow this to happen? And Umar radiallahu anha, at that point, he gets upset that how dare Abu Hudhaifa radiallahu anha say this. So he actually says, let me go and kill this munafiq. Remember, Umar radiallahu anha would be, you know, very strong in his statements. So he says, let me go and kill him. And the Prophet says, no. Basically, he realized this is all, it's just emotion. He just saw his father die, just saw his uncle die, he saw his brother die. So he said this out of emotion, but he didn't really, you know, mean that. And Umar then goes and they basically, he speaks to Abu Hudhayfa radhiyallahu anhu. And Abu Hudhayfa radhiyallahu anhu at that point, later on he says that I regretted what I said that day until the day I died. Until the day I died, when he was shaheed in one of the battles, he said, until the day I died, I regretted saying that statement, but it was out of emotion. So he said that, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not, you know, hold that against him or anything like that. They were, you know, everything was fine. So that was another incident. Another incident that occurred: Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, his son Abdurrahman. So his eldest son Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. Abdurrahman was not Muslim. He fought against the Muslims in the Battle of Badr and also in the Battle of Uhud. So Abdurrahman was not Muslim in the Battle of Badr, and he actually tells his father later on. He tells Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu later on. He says that, oh my father, in the Battle of Badr, I saw you in front of me, and I had a chance to kill you many times. While the fighting is going on, I saw you in front of me many times, but I turned away. I didn't want to kill my own father. And Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu responds to him, and again, this is the sign of Iman. He says that if I was in your place, I would have not left you alone. Meaning that if you had come in front of me and I had noticed you in front of me, I would have killed you. Again, this is because he's on the side of kufr, not because, you know, any other, you know, disputes or anything like that, but it's because he was on the side of kufr. Another thing, Umayyah ibn Khalaf. So we talked about Umayyah ibn Khalaf, how he had purchased a fast camel. And remember, he was afraid that he will be killed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the news of him dying at the hands of the Prophet, at the hands of the Muslims, reached him. So he was afraid to go out. He didn't want to go. But we talked about how Abu Jahl came with the incense, and he says basically, "Tajammar, you know, make yourself smell good and go sit with the women." He embarrassed him, shamed him into coming and joining in the battle. So Umayyah ibn Khalaf comes, he brings his fast camel with him. In case anything goes wrong, anything goes bad, I'm just going to get on my camel and run away. I'll just run away from the battlefield. But unfortunately, he was not able to use that camel. And in the narration of Ibn Hisham, Umayyah ibn Khalaf saw one of his old friends. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu was from the people of Makkah. He was a businessman. And they were friends, so they knew each other. And the narration, Abdurrahman radhiyallahu anhu, he's the one who narrating the hadith. He says that my name was Abdu Amr. His name was Abdu Amr before Islam. And when he became Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ changed his name to Abdurrahman. So when he changed his name, we know that the Quraysh, they did not like the word Rahman. They did not accept the word, the name of Allah subhanahu as Rahman. So they would say, "Who is Rahman? Who is this Rahman that you speak about?" And we know in Hudaybiyah, inshallah, when we get that, we'll talk about it in detail. But one of the things that Suhail ibn Amr, the one of the things that he had a problem with in the treaty, right at the get-go, when they started the treaty, they wrote Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he said that, "Who is this Rahman? Who is this Rahman?" So, you know, erase that. And they wrote instead Bismika Allahumma. They wrote that instead of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because they had some issue with the word Rahman, or the name of Allah subhanahu wa rahman. So, what's his name? Umayyah. He says that I don't know this Rahman, so I'm not going to call you Abdurrahman. Even though you change your name to Abdurrahman, but I don't know who this Abdurrahman is. I'm going to call you something. I'm going to call you by your name, Abdu Amr. And then at that point he says, "Okay, go ahead, pick another name." And then Umayyah says, "Okay, I'll call you Abdul Ilah, the slave of the Ilah, the slave of the God." So he says, "I'll start calling you that," and he starts calling him that. So Umayyah sees his old friend Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu on the battlefield, and Abdurrahman radhiyallahu anhu says, "I was carrying some spoils." Okay, so at that point the distribution of the spoils, the Surah Anfal, was not revealed until after the battle. So the Muslims, you know, the spoils of war, they would just grab whatever they can. Whatever you can carry, that's yours, basically. This is before Surah Al-Anfal. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is carrying some spoils. He's carrying some armor and some, you know, stuff. And Umayyah sees him and he says, "Ya Abda Ilah, oh the slave of Ilah, the of slave of God, slave of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala." He says that, you know, come here. Why don't you want to? Let's make a deal, basically. Don't you want something better than what you have in your hands? I'll give you a lot of spoils. I'll give you a lot of wealth if you take me as your prisoner. So he actually basically throws down his weapons and says, Abdurrahman, he tells Abdurrahman Radhan, come and take me as your prisoner. And he had his son Ali ibn Umayyah was also with him. He was on the battlefield. He was with his father. So he takes these two, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf Radhan says, I take them. I threw the armor away, and I'm holding their hands and walking with them. Basically, they're under his protection. He's taking them. Basically, he's going to take them back to camp, and then he's going to ransom them. Okay, after the battle. So he's taking them. As he's taking them, he says that one of the things that Umayyah asked him, he says, Ya Abdul Ilah, man al-rajul minkum al-mu'allam bi rishatin na'ama fi sadri. He said that who is that man who was he had basically a feather of an ostrich on his chest, tied to his armor or whatever he was wearing. And he says, who was that man? And he told him that was Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. That was the Hamza Radhan, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. And he says, ذَاكَ الَّذِي فَعَلَ بِنَا الْأَفَعِيلِ, that is the one who did a lot of damage to us. Meaning Umayyah had seen Hamza Radhan on the battlefield and how much damage he did to the kuffar on the battlefield. So he said that is the one who did the damage to us. Now, as they're walking, Bilal radiyallahu anh sees his enemy. He sees his ex-slave owner, the same Umayyah who used to drag him in the streets behind the horses. He would put him on the hot rock, okay, and torture him. They would whip him, they would beat him, trying to get him to leave the deen. And he would respond by saying, Ahad, Ahad, Ahadun, Ahad. He would respond by saying, the one, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sees Umayyah being taken as a prisoner of war, and he's not injured, he's not anything, he's going. So he says, when he sees him, he says, Ra'sul Kufr Umayyah ibn Khalf. That this is the head of the Kufr, one of the heads of the Kufr, the heads of Kufr, Umayyah ibn Khalf, La Najawt in Naja. Bilal Radhan calls out and says, this is the head of the Kufr, and if he lives, I will not live. Meaning, one of us will die today. One of us will die today. So Bilal Radhan, he says this, he calls out and says this, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf Radhan, who's taking him as a captive, he says, Bi asiri, meaning this is my captive, that you're going to attack my captive, or you're going to take my captive from me. And then Bilal Radhan does not, he just ignores him, he says, La najawt in najah. Either he is going to live or I'm going to live. One of us is going to live today, one of us is going to die. And then he, ثُمَّ صَرَخَ بِعَلَى صَوْتِ, and then he calls out, screams out, Ya Ahl al Ansar, oh the people of Ansar. And they come and they gather around, like, yes, what's up, Bilal Radhan? Do you need help? Like, what's going on? And Bilal Radhan says, this is Ra'sul Kufr, this is the head of Kufr, Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And if he, La Najawt in Naja, if he lives, then I will not live. He does this, and they actually, again, the people who had gathered, the Ansar and Bilal Radhan, they go to attack Umayyah. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf Radhan, he actually jumps upon Umayyah to protect him. So he jumps on top of him and his son to protect him, but they have their swords out and they start stabbing him, and they kill Umayyah, who is under Abdurrahman ibn Auf Radhan. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf Radhan is also injured in that attack. He was cut, he was injured in that attack when he was trying to protect his captive. So Umayyah dies in that state. Later on, after the battle is done, and they go back to the battlefield, and they're basically treating the Muslims who are injured and taking the dead of the kuffar and, you know, gathering their bodies. Umayyah ibn Khalaf was one of those bodies that they saw. And Umayyah ibn Khalaf was a very big, fat man. He was heavy set man. And what they did was they basically took him and they tried to drag him. And every time they would try to drag him, pieces of his flesh would start coming off his body. It was basically stuck to the ground. The hot desert, the hot pebbles that he was laying upon, his body had gotten stuck and melted basically onto those pebbles. And whenever they tried to pull him, his body's ripping away. So they actually just left him there. They got rocks and sand and whatever, and they put it, just buried it, made a grave above ground for him, and just left his body like that, under the pebbles. So that was Umayyah ibn Khalaf, the way he died. Another leader of the Quraysh, and he was actually, yes.
Does that grave, is it still there today?
Allah alam, probably not, because I'm sure it was above the ground. So yeah, Allah alam. But the well is there. We'll talk about that next week, inshallah, where all the rest of the kuffar, their bodies were taken. It was an abandoned well, and the Prophet ﷺ ordered them to throw the bodies into the well and cover the well. So we'll talk about that next week, inshallah. Okay.
You mentioned his son was also.
Yeah, his son. They say his son was also killed. His son was with him. They're both there, and he was also killed. Mm-hmm. So another person that died was Abu Jahl, who was the leader of the Quraysh, and he was actually the leader of the army. Or Abu Sufyan was gone with the caravan, and he was safely back in Mecca. But Abu Jahl went forward with the army. And so Abu Jahl, we talked about how these two teenagers, they attacked Abu Jahl. Remember, we talked about how they asked Abdurrahman ibn Auf, where is Abu Jahl? And he says, what do you need with him? What do you want with him? What business do you have? And they said that he abuses our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will not live if he will live. Meaning that we will, and our shadow will not leave his body or his shadow until one of us dies. So they said that, and they actually darted towards Abu Jahl during the battle, and they injured him, severely injured him, and he was basically out for the rest of the battle. He's on the ground, he's basically half dead, he's about to die. And the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba what happened to Abu Jahl, to go check his body, find out if he's, you know, what's going on with him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhan was the one who was sent. So he goes, and one of the things Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhan, he says that when I went to him, he was breathing his last. He was just about to die, basically. And Abdullah radhan goes, he said, I put my foot on his chest to climb up and climb up upon him. And at this point, Abu Jahl, in his arrogance, he says to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, لَقَدْ إِرْتَقَيْتَ مُرْتَقًا صَعْبًا, that you have climbed upon a mountain, or like a hard place to climb. You have climbed upon this. يَا رُوَيْعِ الْغَنَمْ, oh, the small shepherd of the ghanam, of the sheep. And remember, we talked about this way early on, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiallahu was the one, when he was a shepherd for the people of Quraysh. He was very small in stature. He was very skinny, and he was a young boy when he became Muslim. He was actually with the sheep, and the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr radhan, they met him, and they said, give us some milk to drink. And Abdullah said, even though he was not Muslim, and he said that this is not my property, I'm not allowed to give you that which is not mine. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him to give him a sheep that had no milk, that had not produced milk. And the Prophet ﷺ took his blessed hands, touched the udders, and then it started producing milk. The milk was full of milk, and they drank from that. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, this young boy, seeing this, he was just amazed. And then he said, what is this religion that you follow? And I want to begin. He becomes Muslim at that point. Later on, when he's in Mecca, he recites Surah Al-Rahman loudly in front of the people of Quraysh. He says this loudly in front of the people of Quraysh. And Abu Jahl comes, and he grabs his ears, and he said, he twisted my ears and basically ripped my ears, and he did that. There's another rawaya. I think they say it's ta'if, it's weak, but Allah alam, we don't know. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, he grabbed my ears and he took me to a wall, and he had a mismar. He had a nail in his pocket. He takes out his nail, grabs my hand, and he basically, I don't know what's the word, but he nails his hand into the wall. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was stuck like that, with bleeding out. And then Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu came, and he saw him, and he took him and tended to his wounds. So they had this animosity. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiallahu anhu had this hatred towards Abu Jahl, and because of what he did to him and all the stuff. And Abu Jahl says that you have climb upon this mountain that cannot be climbed. And at this point, he asked him what happened in the battle, basically who won the battle. And Abdullah radhiallahu says, the Muslims, alhamdulillah, and the Prophet, the Muslims have won. And at that point, then Abdullah, there's another riwayah where Abu Jahl, again in his arrogance, he says, when you cut off my head, then cut my head lower than like my neck, cut it with my neck, so that when people see the heads, they'll see my head as longer than the others, and they'll see that this is a head of a leader. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud cuts off his head and takes it back. So that was another incident that happened. Another of the leader of the Kufar was Abu al-Bakhtari. And Abu al-Bakhtari was one of those, remember I talked about that last week, the Prophet he instructed the Muslims to not kill certain individuals, people from Banu Hashim, and also Abu al-Bakhtari. He was one of those that were not to be killed. And that was because of his influence and his, what he did when the Muslims were in Shi'b Abi Talib, when they were banished to that area. He was one of those who helped annul that agreement that they had, and get the Muslim or the Banu Hashim and the Muslims back into Mecca. So Abu al-Bakhtari actually was caught, and he was being taken as a captive alive back to the Prophet ﷺ. But he said to his captor, I guess you would say, the one who took him, he said to him that if you're taking me, then what about my friend? I'm not sure who his friend was that he's talking about, but he says that what about him? I want to bring him also, take him as a captive. And the Sahabi says, I don't know about your friend. Basically, I've been given instructions to take you as a captive, but not your friend. And Abu al-Bakhtari at a point says, okay, if you're not taking my friend, then basically I'm gonna, you can't take me either. I'm not gonna go with you either. And he actually starts to fight, and he is killed in that struggle. So that was another of the leader of the Kufar. So we'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala, and what we'll do is next week, inshallah, we're going to talk about what the Prophet ﷺ did with the dead bodies, and like I said, the well, and we'll talk about the captives of war and how the Surah Al-Anfal, when it was revealed, what happened with the spoils, how it was distributed. We'll talk about that next week, inshallah ta'ala. جزاكم خيرا واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين